Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle. Hey everyone, this is Judy. This is a little bit of an extra episode, basically. So there's a couple things I wanted to pass on and share with you guys. There's just a lot going on, so I thought I'd throw an extra episode in here. This one is going to be focused mainly on food sensitivities, food allergies, gluten, probably mostly in particular, but the others all certainly apply. Part of this episode will be a recording that I did quite a while back that I just never put into the queue for the podcast, which is kind of a review of my experience last year at the Gluten Free Fest in Minneapolis. And it's coming around again in Minneapolis and various other locations around the US, and I'll share all that information with you a little bit later too. But first, I want to talk about and just kind of do almost some, I guess, basically restaurant reviews. I had a great opportunity to spend some time in Rochester, Minnesota. And what originally brought me there was doing some food allergy safety training. I've mentioned this a little bit before, but just to give you an idea. So I am a master trainer for food allergy safety training for restaurants. So basically I train restaurants through a certified course where they basically learn about food allergies, food sensitivities, celiac disease, various types of things, with the goal that they have more information, more knowledge to serve their customers more effectively and create a really good dining experience for them and a safe dining experience for them. The training that I do, I love to do it in person with the people that I'm training with. It allows me to sit across the table or in a room with them, however large our training might be, and we can talk about things as we're going along, and I can learn what they're experiencing as a restaurant, as servers. Sometimes it allows them to ask the questions that they maybe just don't know enough about, that they maybe think are weird or whatever the case might be, or having weird experiences. And sometimes we can go through them and explain what's going on and help them understand again so they can serve their customers better, ask the right questions, all of that type of stuff. As much as I love doing training in person and live, it isn't always possible to do that. I do love to go when I can to wherever people want me to train. I also do it over the web, so it is me in person, live, doing the training, and so those questions get answered and we can have those conversations. So I've been working with Rochester as well. You know, they have the Mayo Clinic, so that leads to dietary needs, and they're basically looking to take the great service that they seem to have, or in my experience they have, and beef that up and make it even better. So I was down there and had an opportunity to experience some great places to eat, and I just wanted to share with you my experience. Now I want to say, first of all, that I do not have a gluten allergy and I don't have celiac disease. So my reactions are typically not hugely immediate. Yeah, I know people with gluten sensitivity, for instance, who doesn't take much gluten and their belly, you know, they're instantly 3 months pregnant. I don't have that type of situation. So when it comes to the safety of foods, I am taking more or less the experience that I have and the impression that I have in most cases to know where they're at. I just wanted to be very forthright with that for anybody who has really severe sensitivities or allergies to make sure that you know what page I'm on in all of this. So the first restaurant that I ate at while I was there is called Pescara's, and it is in the first floor of the DoubleTree Hotel. Fantastic place, very seafood focused. Their focus is seafood, fresh food, quality food. My experience was they did a really nice job with that. They also have steaks. I did give the restaurant a call and just checked in with them a little bit about their food allergies when it came to fish allergies. And they said they do have a separate grill for fish and for steaks. And she said they have a pretty good handle on food allergy and the separation of all of that. So this may very well be a safe option for somebody with a fish allergy to dine at. If you know your allergy, you know if this is going to work for you. If you don't and you want to try it, you know, if you feel like you need to ask them to maybe rewash down a table or the chairs or whatever the case might be, I would ask them that. My impression is that they certainly want to serve their customers, and a respectful and reasonable request would be entertained. When it comes to gluten, They don't have any breaded fish on the menu online, and I didn't see anybody that evening. It wasn't necessarily a choice of how to have your fish. My only reason for stating that is that it can just make it easier for somebody with a gluten sensitivity or a wheat allergy to not have to worry so much about the grill getting a proper cleaning before their fish goes on it. So if it's not there in the first place, it's not something you have to worry about. Again, definitely worth an ask. I told my waitress that I needed to not have gluten, and she just worked me right through the menu. They didn't have a separate menu, or she didn't offer me one. We worked through what I was planning on ordering and what sauces were safe and everything like that. What I ended up ordering was a Caesar salad. She had checked about the dressing and if that was gluten-free. They took off the croutons, and I have to say, for a salad, it was a really nice salad. Like, it came in a bowl, not a plate. It had some girth to the amount that I got. Like, I got done. You know how sometimes you order a salad and you pay decent money for it, and you get done and you're like, okay, that was a nice little serving of vegetables. This was actually a good sized salad that I felt like I'd actually eaten something after I had eaten it. I was torn between the ahi tuna, and on the menu for that day was fish from Iceland. And I have this thing about Iceland, so I had to try the Iceland fish. And it was fantastic. I am not a fish connoisseur. I certainly know I've had fish that has not been cooked great and didn't taste great. This stuff was really, really good. Flavor was fantastic. The cooking, it felt like it was cooked really well. I had mine broiled with a little bit of lemon garlic sauce, and I didn't order any sides with it. So it was just the fish, and it came presentation very well as well. The waitress that I had, once she found out I wasn't having gluten, she was like, oh, I have the dessert for you. It's my favorite dessert. It's so good. It's gluten-free. It looks like it's always on their menu, and it is a chocolate torte. And I know that's one of the things that is a little more common if you don't eat gluten, that you will find flourless chocolate cake type thing. And that's exactly what this is. I don't even know what's all in it or on it. It came with some fruit and some decor. So again, if you've got other allergies, I would definitely ask to make sure that it isn't going to contain other things that you cannot consume. But it was very good. It was not ridiculously oversweet, very tasty and large. So that was my experience at Pesqueras, and a very nice time, lovely ambiance, a lovely place to be. Again, this is definitely a little more of an upscale restaurant. If you're planning an outing, you might just want to be aware of that. This particular trip was not my typical trip. It was definitely, I was down there for work and eating in ways that I don't normally eat on a day-to-day basis. So just FYI on that. The second place I want to talk about is Twigs Tavern and Grill, and it's located on the first floor of the Centerstone Plaza Hotel by Soldiers Field, just to give you a reference point. The great thing about Twigs is that they have a gluten-free kitchen. So, just so you understand how this works, they don't have a gluten-free area. They have a gluten-free kitchen. They have two kitchens, and then the food doesn't cross. So, the way I understand it, and I wasn't able to go look at this because out of the keeping the integrity of the gluten-free area, they really don't bring people back there. So the way I understand it is you've got a gluten-free kitchen, you've got the regular kitchen, and in the middle is where the servers pick up the food. So they're picking it up from one side, and then if you have two people at your table, a gluten-free person and a person who does eat gluten, they'll have two people bring out the food, one with the gluten-free, one without. So they take it very seriously. They get it. And my understanding, if I recall the story correctly, is the people who own it, they wanted to start a restaurant. They then found out they had celiac disease. And instead of saying, we can't do that, they said, let's just make this work. So they did. And they're serving a great population of people who really, really need this. I was talking to one of the women who manages it, and as servers said this too, that, you know, parents will bring their kids in and they're literally in tears because their kid is given a gluten-free menu that is pretty much just as big, not quite, but just as big as the regular menu. And they do have separate menus. And the kid is like, I can eat anything on this menu. Like, anything that kid points at is something that that kid can have. And this is true for adults too, but I'm just talking about their story. So for parents who really struggle with bringing their kids out because you just can't trust it, this is a great opportunity to have that sort of safe food experience and to have so many options of pasta and wraps and everything. Check out their menu. It's all online. You can see a gluten-free menu and a non-gluten-free menu. In talking to them, they work with other allergies too, so they're aware of all of that, but obviously gluten-free is kind of their main separate focus. I had that day, I had the ahi tuna wrap, and I had to get my ahi tuna in somewhere apparently, and it was really good. It was not a very big lunch, but it was a filling, enjoyable lunch. The person who served me said it was an Udi's wrap, and I thought it tasted pretty decent. So really good. And then sides. So I had not the same fryer sweet potato fries. And then I had desserts. And there's multiple to choose from. So this is a situation where, again, because they're gluten-free kitchen, you go in, you don't just have one thing plus ice cream, right? If you're lucky. And they have multiple things to eat for desserts. So I don't remember. I know they had a chocolate cake, a chocolate lava cake, and I think they're all made in-house, if I am correct. I ended up having the cheesecake, which comes in a sort of, I hate to use the word blob because it doesn't sound like fancy, but it kind of was blobby. Somebody described it as an ice cream scoop. I liked my shape that I got better than an ice cream scoop. When I always think of ice cream scoops, I think back to elementary school and potatoes and gravy, and it just like... Yeah. PTSD for the shape of the ice cream scoop and some of the stuff that we got served in school food. Sorry, I wasn't a big fan of school food. No offense to all the wonderful lunch ladies out there, but let's get real. Anyway, so it came very pretty and they had toppings that you could put on. I got to choose two. I was very excited. So I had chocolate and raspberry and it was really great. Who needs crust on their cheesecake? I'm all about not. So it was great. I have eaten there before in my last trip down when I did the first training, and everything I had was really enjoyable. And they have kind of like some small plate things that you can try, and then of course larger meals. So there's a lot of neat things to try at Twigs as well as it just being a gluten-free kitchen option. There's just a lot of neat food to try there as well. So if you're heading to Rochester and you've got celiac, this is definitely one place I would highly recommend. The third place is called Blue Duck Kitchen, and that's B-L-E-U, and the name was inspired after the Billy Madison movie. They were the first place in Rochester that I actually went down to train. The restaurant owners and head of the team are Eric and Jennifer, and very cool people. Had a really enjoyable time training them. They took it seriously and already had a lot of knowledge and thought processes about what they did and how they did it totally under their belt. So it was great working with them. So just to give you a vision of this place, it's in a old building. The walls are like kind of brick and kind of old looking, and then they make it look so intriguing and draw you in. Fun and cool art on the wall, and then the tables are with white, pure white tablecloths with like blue napkins. The place is a blue accent, and it looks so crisp. I love walking in there, like eating early and having a reservation early. And I would highly recommend getting a reservation with these guys if it's something that you want to do. But going in early, you kind of get to see what it looks like empty. And I just think it looks very classy. This is one of those places where you want to take some time. This is not a slam your meal down type of place. If you've got an event you're going to afterwards, give yourself a good amount of ample time, longer than normal, I would say, for a meal. Because first of all, you don't get your appetizer and your food at the same time. You get everything one by one. And that's because this really is an experience and you want to take time with that food and enjoy the flavors individually. Or if it's a dish with multi-ingredients, you know, you might taste them individually and then together kind of with the intent of their creation and all the tastes they were pulling together. The restaurant is named after or inspired by the movie Billy Madison. And if you know that, you have an idea about that, you can certainly ask them the story behind it. But they do a lot of creative flavors. And every week their menu changes. So think about that for a minute, right? Like, these guys are involved in each week creating new dishes, new flavor combinations. They're always on the ball with what ingredients and fresh, you know, herbs and that kind of stuff are available to them in what they're creating. So you can go online and you can find out what menu they have going on for that week. But know that if you're going a week later, you're going to want to check in again. first of all, I had a curried tomato soup. And the curried tomato soup had a little bit of sour cream, scallions, and poppy seeds. I enjoy curry a lot, and the spice combination was delightful. It had a little bit of heat to it, but not too much. It was, I don't know, it struck me as just really, I just really enjoyed the soup. Really liked the flavor and the spicing and everything. And the next thing I had was called burrata. And I think that's the way I pronounce it, B-U-R-R-A-T-A. It is buffalo milk cheese, if I remember correctly. And that came with orange, fennel, pecans, balsamic, onions, and beets. It was great. Again, this is one of those things where everything separate was good. Everything together was really phenomenal. So I very much enjoyed that. And I did tell my server when I came that I was gluten-free. And she basically walked me right through the menu. This you can have, this you can have. And I think there was one thing that she said, you know, if we take away the bread, you can have that as well. They, from everything we've talked about, you know, I would maybe call ahead if you have a bunch of allergies or food restrictions. What it seems like to me is that they're going to help you find something that's going to work. Definitely call ahead and say, here's my food needs. Can you guys work with this? If you're open to creativity, they have a lot of stuff on their menu. It's all a little bit different each week, not only between week to week, but even just what's on that menu. It's not a lot of variations of one thing. It's very different things. So they have a lot going on back there and a lot of creativity in their chefs and their menu creations. So as it comes to the food allergies and that kind of thing, I felt pretty confident about working with them with the gluten restriction. And again, talking to them personally through the training, you know, that is something they take seriously and they are aware of. What did I have for my main course? I had bolognese. Bolognese has a venison, bison, beef heart, roasted Brussels, and fried polenta. Oh my gosh, I have to tell you, the meat in this was so incredibly melt in your mouth. The flavors were amazing. It was just, the texture was so good. This is one of those meals where, you know, you sit there and you're like, oh, yeah, that was me. I was that annoying person at the table next to you. But I just really enjoyed it. The first bite was just, it looked good, but it was just this delicious surprise of melt in your mouth. Spicing, tasting, whatever they did to it. It was so good. I believe, if I'm correct, that somebody said it was marinated, you know, for a good period of time too. So it was just amazing. Brussels sprouts were done very, very well. I like Brussels sprouts. I've had some bad and I've had some great. They were really, really done well. And fried polenta. So I think I've cooked polenta a few times in my life. I've certainly eaten it more than a handful. This, I think, hands down, was the best polenta I've ever eaten. It was so good on its own, like the little pile that was underneath. I certainly had some of that on its own, and it was delicious. So again, flavor combinations, great items on their own, great. And then for dessert, I had a chocolate dessert. I believe it was also called a chocolate tart, but it was in a dish rather than in a piece of cake type style. Very rich, really good. A little bit of a smaller dessert, which was perfect. Really excellent. So when I trained with them before, I also ate their food then, and I was with somebody else, so I got to taste a lot of the food they were serving that evening. And it was a little more creative or unusual taste flavors the night that I went the first time. They were interesting and really good. For instance, they had a savory creme brulee for dessert the night that we were there. And it was one of those things where, you know, you have creme brulee in your head, right? Like you envision this and you know by reading the ingredients that it's going to be different. So you have to like suspend your creme brulee belief, but your brain still kind of works. It goes, this looks like creme brulee. So you eat it and you have a bite and you're like, okay, that's interesting and weird. And then you have to take like bite number 2 and 3 and let them kind of hang out in your mouth for a little bit to sort of get your brain to wrap around what in the world am I eating right now? And that was true for various other things we had had that night too, in a good way. And I want to really emphasize it was in a good way. So if you're a foodie and you enjoy food and you like tastes, it's a great place to go. So give it a shot. And like I say, it's totally an event. I think you'd miss out if you went there to have a quick bite. So I just want to warn you on that. The other thing is their kitchen is open, so you can see everything that's going on in there. So if you have questions about how they're cooking something, great opportunity to ask. I know they have a bar that kind of surrounds the kitchen, and I can't remember if you can just go in there and sit and order a drink or not. But if so, you know, or maybe you can eat your meal at the bar so you can keep an eye on what's going on in the kitchen if you feel like you need to do that, if you have severe allergies or whatever the case might be. Quite honestly, I think it'd be fun to just sit up there and watch them. Like I say, everything comes to you with this sense of care and intention. You know, it's nice to have that experience with our food. So there you go. If you're looking at Rochester, Minnesota for some food options, I hope that at least helps to serve you well. I believe that I'm going to be going back, so hopefully I can find some more places to share and maybe less extravagant dining options. Twigs is a little more in the kind of, I don't know what the word is, mid-typical range. And I would say Pescara's and the Blue Duck are a little more maybe for most people, special occasion type places. For the average person, this isn't probably where you're going to eat out every night. You probably would want to. I would thoroughly enjoy eating every meal there, quite frankly. All right, next up is Gluten-Free Food Allergy Fest. So the gluten-free also does cover food allergies as well, but there's a lot of focus on gluten-free. And it is brought to you by Enjoy Life Foods and Gluten-Free and More magazine. So this is a national type of expo. The whole concept around it is a celebration of living gluten-free. And so there's various vendors, various places with food. You get to try a ton of stuff, and you're encouraged to try more than one thing. So it, you know, if they have four types of cookies or pizza crust or whatever, they're like a little more on most places anyway, are pretty happy if you're going to try them all. So just to kind of let you know that's probably going to be a little more of an option. It is nice sometimes when you're, you know, you think you might like three flavors, and if you try the first one, you don't like it, but you find one that you do. Certainly had that happen of, okay, I don't love, obviously, you know, we all know that. But when you're paying a little extra for the gluten-free foods and the allergy-free foods, it is nice to go into it knowing what you like. So that's what they're doing, is that opportunity to do that. There are some local folks too. So there are things that are made like right here, at least in the Minnesota one, the Minneapolis one. I'm assuming that's true for the other ones around the country. And there are stores there who have a good size food allergy section. And it's not just food. There certainly are desserts and candy makers and things like that. But there's, for instance, there was a person who sold pots and pans and various other things that kind of lead to good cookware and healthy living as well. Sometimes there are health practitioners there too. And I will be playing for you my sort of review from the last year's event. So in Minneapolis, there used to be, and I honestly don't know if this still is happening or not. The last time I checked, I heard that it wasn't happening. Is it a little more local, you know, out of the Twin Cities a little ways, and it was another gluten-free opportunity. And if somebody happens to know about that happening, please, 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 please get a hold of me, Facebook, put it on Facebook, whatever, share those events that are happening. It's great to have the national, but it's also nice to have other groups putting stuff together too. So please do that at Facebook, the Wellness Renaissance, or the Wellness Renaissance podcast page. Or group, if you haven't joined the Wellness Renaissance podcast group yet, please feel free to do that. Post it there so everyone can know. Okay, I want to list down for anybody who is not in the Minneapolis area the other opportunities for Gluten-Free Food Allergy Fest. So the first one is happening soon, April 28th and 29th, and that is in Columbus, Ohio. The next one is the Minneapolis one, and that's at the Convention Center here in Minneapolis, and that is May 19th and 20th. And these are all 2018 dates, by the way. Brooklyn, New York, July 28th and 29th. Richmond, Virginia is August 18th and 19th. Indianapolis, Indiana is September 29th and 30th. And then Portland, Oregon is the last one, and that is November 3rd and 4th. So the other thing that this can do too is if there's stuff that isn't in the stores in our area, it lets you know what, if you buy it over the web, what it's going to taste like. So just a reminder there, there are online options for many things, so much more now than there used to be. It's a great opportunity to taste. I'm certainly going to post links in the show notes, but I am just going to say this here in case you're listening and at a computer and you want to check it out. The website for the Gluten-Free Expo is glutenfreefoodallergyfest.com. So next up, I will play for you the pre-recorded, it was recorded last year after I went to the Gluten-Free Fest in Minneapolis and kind of did a review, and it's something I haven't put out yet on the podcast, so I thought this might be a good time to do it. Just a little bit of a heads up of what you might see while you're there and what I experienced last year. On the food sensitivity front, if you're not able to go to Minneapolis that weekend or on that Saturday, at the Spirit Wellness Connection event in Duluth at the Radisson on Saturday, I'll be doing a talk on food sensitivities at that event. So feel free to come on and enjoy that and be part of that conversation. You know, a lot of times when I do those talks, they morph a little bit into the people that are there and their needs, and sharing between people is always great because so many people have great resources as well. And so feel free to come and see who is there and have that conversation with me and with the other folks around. I definitely encourage that. So I just wanted to throw that out there too. And here is my review from last year. Hey guys, so I'm going to do something a little different this time. I was planning on doing this, but I'm feeling a little especially inspired. I was just watching a friend of mine do a Facebook Live video, which obviously this isn't Facebook Live and that wasn't my intent, but he's doing a Facebook Live video making balloon animals to raise money this evening. So I was feeling kind of, I don't know, extra inspired to go ahead and do this and just kind of run with it and see what happened. But anyway, so what I'm doing, I recently went to the Gluten-Free Food Allergy Fest in Minneapolis. It was May 20th and 21st at the Convention Center, put on by Enjoy Life is usually a huge sponsor. I think maybe always is a big sponsor. And then Gluten-Free and More magazine. I literally have all my bits and pieces that I got from the expo and the things that I have purchased around me to share with you. And just thought I'd kind of walk through it. If this is something you haven't been to, if you're gluten-free, dairy-free, have an allergy, this is something that might be of interest to you. I will certainly mention some of the things that I purchased and that kind of stuff. And check them out. They are in different cities. So I think they kind of do this once a year in these places. And you can, so last year, I know it was more in the middle of the summer a little bit. I can't remember which month it was in. And so you buy tickets ahead of time or at the door. If you get them ahead of time, you can usually get a little bit of a discount. And then you can get a 1-day pass or a 2-day pass. So, and like I say, keep an eye with the discount with buying them beforehand, but also keep an eye out for sales or specials because they do that too. Okay, so yeah, you buy your tickets, you go, you get your bag, you get a few samples right off the top. The first thing they handed us was sun butter, which is gluten-free. And then there was also some cookies, Snickerdoodle cookies by, I do not know how to pronounce this name, I'm so sorry people at this company, Aleias, A-L-E-I-A-S. It's, their products usually come in kind of a brown box. They're kind of earthy tones. And I think I've had their gluten-free stuffing, if I recall correctly. And if this is the company, and I'm pretty sure it was quite delightful. That was not there at the fest that I saw anyway. So they have booths that you go in and you walk up and down the aisles, of course. And then they also have demos and then they have lectures. So just to read off a few of the topics that they do have. So there's gluten-free 101 for those just diagnosed, improved digestion with essential oils, Fresh Time, which is actually a store in Minneapolis, does fresh tips on building a healthy gluten-free lifestyle. Life at the gluten-free table, at home, at work, dining out, travel, and fabulously fun events. Gluten and Sugar, the Ticking Time Bomb. So those were the lecture schedule on Saturday. The demos are Start Your Morning with a Delicious Gluten-Free Muffin, Gluten-Free and Dairy-Free Ice Cream, Make an Easy Ice Cream Cake Using Coconut Bliss. The next one is Healthy Gluten-Free Baking and Cooking Without Rice, Corn, Xanthan, Guar, or Any Fillers. I would like to have seen that. Back to the Basics, Leafy Greens, and Gluten-Free Grilling. So those just to give you a sense of what kind of things are there, the demos and the lectures. I went to the demos and, or I went to some lectures last year. Last year, Jules with Jules Gluten-Free Flour was there and she did a demo. This year it was a little smaller, if I didn't say that already. I went with my sister. We caught one of the demos or most of one of the demos, which was the Back to the Basics by Farm Girl Fresh. And I actually picked up her cookbook. It's a lot more than a cookbook and it's got a lot of interesting information, facts, how to preserve, that kind of stuff. As well as, while I'm mentioning books, I think this is definitely worth mentioning because I did not know this before I went there, but one of the vendors who was selling various things, I purchased oat groats from them, had the Shelley Case gluten-free book for sale. And I hadn't known that there was a new version. If anybody has been dealing with gluten-free for a long time, or maybe you're even just coming upon it, you may have found this book, Gluten-Free by Shelley Case, and the old one, which still has a ton of valuable information in it, is great. And the new one, I haven't had a huge chance to look at it, but it's been updated and that kind of thing. So what might you find in this gem of a book? Everything from, you know, regulations like what countries and how many parts per million are considered safe to have a gluten-free label. There are recipes in here, but that is not like the main focus of the book. There's a company directory of companies that sell gluten-free foods and their contact information. There's also things like oats, you know, kind of talking about the process, what makes them not gluten-free. Alcohols, what ones are gluten-free, what ones are not. She gets down to brands, but, you know, just also talking about the process. She gets down to brands of food, too. So if you're looking for snacks, communion wafers, various other things, she'll talk about the companies and what they offer that's gluten-free. She also deals with some of the nutrient issues. So there's particular things with, like, celiac that people need to be aware of. And she talks about that specifically in here. And then also does pull out some nutrition information. So looking at, say, alternative grains or seeds or various things and kind of looking at the nutritional content with some of those as well. She covers a lot of bases and it kind of has the feeling of being a really complete guide if you are celiac or, you know, gluten is really a big deal for you or you need to have it out of your world. She talks about cross contact and a lot of, you know, alternate choices for baking and that kind of thing. So a great tool for anybody who needs that information. Just to let you know, that is out there and existing on the planet. If you're trying to keep up with everything, or if you haven't heard of it, it's worth checking out. A lot of great information. So I want to call out a little bit of what I did get. I actually purchased, and I have not tried this yet, I think I tried it actually there. It's called True Made Foods, and it's a vegetable barbecue sauce. So you walk up and down the aisles, and you try all of these different foods. Now, when you're talking gluten-free foods, you know, you're talking a lot of different things, but there are a ton of pastry-type things, right? Everything from muffin mix to cakes to pancake mix, gluten-free pizza crust, pita breads, and then there's various snacks as well, and then some things like oils and barbecue sauce, and that's one of the other things that I did get while I was there was from Wild Tree, which I believe is a direct marketing company, roasted garlic grapeseed oil. Also, haven't had a chance to try this yet. I really haven't had a chance to try any of the things that I brought home. I also got some popcorn by Patty's Popcorn, and like actual kernels that I need to actually pop. And then the gluten-free prairie is the gluten-free oat groats that I got. So I'm excited to try them. What else do I want to call out here? This was interesting. I just didn't know this existed. So Pamela has a booth, and what their giveaway was it's called an ambition bar. I got the salted caramel latte, and it has cold brew coffee in it. So just interesting. Didn't know that exists. And that's like a lot of what you do is you kind of, some of these foods you see on the shelves, and it's an opportunity for you to try the foods before you buy them. You can a lot of times buy the mixes there. Like they were certainly many places, many booths were selling their mixes that you could buy. Others did not have them, but they would let you know what stores you could find them in and that kind of thing. And some were even handing out, and I thought this was great, basically a request form to give to your grocer that says, hey, carry these products or look into these products, which from a few conversations that I've had with people who run grocery stores, they say that's the type of thing that's really helpful for them, because in general, not just gluten-free, but in general, you know, people, it's hard to know what people are looking for. So if you state that, that might be something that they can try. But when it comes to especially some of these specialty foods, when you're talking the gluten-free, that maybe can be helpful. You know, if you've bought a few mixes from somewhere or from, I mean, I think it's a great way to do it. Buy it, have it a couple times, know that you really are going to like it. And then pass that on to your grocer. So I just thought that was great that they had that ready to go. That makes it just a little bit easier sometimes for people to say, you know, hey, this is okay, to go ahead and do that and to mention to the grocers. So that was cool. They had also, I just thought this was interesting, they're called Baby Mum Mums. And I picked up the banana rice rusks is what they're called. And they're basically baby teething crackers. So I had a little bit of a taste of one of them while I was there, and it was pretty good. Also things like, you know, sauces and soups, people who make and carry those that are gluten-free. Some of them are gluten-free companies that are like certified facilities that are gluten-free, and then others are their gluten-free, you know, version of whatever they have, but they maybe have other gluten-y products. And again, these are also allergy-free, so it's not just gluten-free. I think every single thing there was gluten-free. Like, I don't think there was a single thing there that was, like, allergy-free mostly, but had gluten in it. But then, you know, some companies are really focused on cutting out some of the other allergens as well. Like Enjoy Life, for instance, and I got a couple other things around here that have some other or many other allergens that are removed. So here's kind of an exciting thing that is coming up in the Twin Cities. And this cafe is not open yet, but it's called Olivia's Organic Cafe. And I found a website, oliviasorganiccafe.com. They're also on Facebook at Olivia's Organic Cafe. And I'm doing a little edit ad in here. You might notice the sound difference. They are still not open, so keep looking for them. I'm trying to find out exactly when they are going to open, but I know that they are still not open. So all the rest of the information I think still applies, but just a quick update on what I know. From talking to the woman who is running it, it's going to be open later this summer. The address is 11851 Mill Pond Avenue in Burnsville, Minnesota, 55337, just in case that's of interest to you. And the phone number, 952-346-8800. It is created because her daughter can't eat gluten and dairy, so she wanted to have a restaurant where her daughter could have anything on the menu, and that it would also be made out of healthy ingredients. So GMO-free is another thing, and sustainability are pieces that they're looking for. So she was handing out their menu. And, you know, I challenge anybody to go here and not find something to eat. There's a breakfast menu that looks fantastic. They have sourdough bread, which I'm excited to go try. Pancakes, French toast, scramblers, avocado egg toast, which sounds kind of exciting. Different sandwiches, salads, drinks, kind of, you know, it looks creative, but also you can find some basic stuff here too. Definitely worth checking out for anybody who is gluten and dairy free. I'm excited to see what happens with that place and excited to go check it out when it opens up. I didn't spend a lot of time at this booth because they were kind of busy, but the NEMA folks were there, and if you haven't seen NEMA, it's a little kind of a triangular shape piece of equipment for which you take food that you, so if you say are gluten-free and it tests gluten at the moment, but they are having peanuts and a few other testers coming out for different types of food. So you take this piece of equipment with you, you take a little bit of the food that you're wondering about, so say you order a pasta dinner or whatever the case may be, and you're gonna make sure it's really gluten-free, you stuff a little bit of that into this little capsule, you put it into the machine, and then it spits you out a digital happy face if it is gluten-free. And it tests under 20 parts per million, so that's basically the standard for the U.S. in what we consider gluten-free, which works for many people. It still does not work for quite everybody, but it does work for most people. So, and they are coming out with peanut milk and tree nuts. So pretty exciting for a lot of people who really can't eat out because of the fear that there is with getting gluten or, and some of these other foods as well. You can order something and you know, if it didn't get right, like I was just in a call the other day and they were talking about pasta water. I actually wrote an article or a blog post about this, about a restaurant who used the gluten-y pasta water in their gluten-free pasta. So therefore the people who were celiac, somebody who was eating at the restaurant was getting sick. So some restaurants just, they don't think about that. So those are some of those things that can be a pretty big deal. So if you go to a restaurant, you could test it. And if it's been cooked in this pasta water, that's going to tell you that their gluten-free pasta isn't gluten-free. And it gives you an opportunity to talk to them about that and to not eat the food so you don't have to be sick. Because that's pretty important for a lot of people when it takes you down for multiple days. As I mentioned, there is a store in Minneapolis called Fresh Thyme. And just to be clear, the spelling of that is Fresh, T-H-Y-M-E. There are 6 locations, and this store has a bunch of gluten-free products and other allergen-free, but they also have kind of regular stuff too. And like I said, there's 6 locations, Apple Valley, Bloomington, Plymouth, Savage, Vadnais Heights, and Waite Park. So, and they actually, you can get their ad via email. That's kind of handy. So, just wanted to call that out. I have not been there. I would like to go there and check them out. All right, so another thing that I learned, and this is pretty exciting, is I had heard this from one of the people in my, I teach diabetes prevention classes, pre-diabetes prevention classes, and one of the people had spent some time in Iowa where they have a bunch of Hy-Vees, and at the store that her daughter shopped at, they had a dietitian in the store to help you. And I think there's free of charge things you can do with them, this person, and I think there are also things that you can do that do cost money too. But so there was the Hy-Vee booth, and I went and talked to them. Not only do they have their own monthly magazine, or I don't know if it's monthly or not, but it's a magazine. They have a dietitian in all of their stores. So I live in Duluth. We don't have a Hy-Vee up here. But I did not know this about Hy-Vee stores. I have no idea when they started this, but pretty cool and exciting and a great resource to use for dietary needs and just figuring out, you know, help with your food and figuring out what to eat. So if you're not aware of that, and, you know, no matter if you've got a food sensitivity or allergy or not, if you're like a person trying to figure your food out, there, that might be a really great resource. So check them out. I'm kind of impressed. That was a fun discovery. There is an app called Now Find Gluten Free, and according to the piece of material that I got, the app is free for a limited time. So I do not know what it's going to cost after that, but that might be worth trying out if you are looking for something free. There's also Find Me Gluten Free, which I haven't explored too much. I should have explored that in the Twin Cities while I was there, just because there's more on it to kind of play around with that. But Find Me Gluten Free is another one too. Some of the other things that you can pick up there, or that some places have, for instance, will have their product list so you can get an idea. For instance, Namaste Foods handed out a flyer that basically just had an entire list of everything that they have. So when you figure with gluten-free, dairy-free, or all of, you know, whatever the options are, there's only so many types that some of the stores can carry. So they have to make choices in what, you know, make their best guess and what they can put on their shelves because the space is small. The co-op here in Duluth has, you know, pretty limited shelf space. So there is a lot of things that they cannot carry that you might not even know exist. So it's just nice to sometimes go to these events or to kind of be aware, to go look on a website that to know that there is a lot more out there and available. And I would also encourage you, if you do that and you notice that there are things that you want, go to your grocer and ask them if you can purchase them. So for instance, here at the co-op, and I don't honestly know if this holds true for like our Super Ones or Cubs, but I know this is true for the co-op, and I'm betting that it's true for some of the other places too. You get a little bit of a discount if you order a whole case. So say you've gone to the cities and you discover that, Pamela has a particular thing that you love and we don't have it in the store here. Ask them if that's something that they have access to that they can get, and then you can, you know, maybe get a huge amount, or maybe the case amount isn't as big as you think. So might be worth checking into, but that's just another tool that you might want to utilize when you're trying to find particular things, or especially when you do find something that you love. You definitely get the opportunity to pick up coupons and, you know, information about these companies. So just to randomly name off a few other ones that were there, Chebe, I believe that's the way the guy told me to pronounce it. I should have written it down. Chebe is a company that makes a lot of things like breadsticks and pizza crusts and some other stuff, mixes basically. Canyon Bakehouse was there. K's Naturals. Rise, R-Y-Z-E, which is a rice-based flour mix that isn't too bad. Ben and Jerry's were there. They have gluten-free ice cream cakes, just so you know. The particular location that was there was the Excelsior Boulevard location to pick up your ice cream cake, but they did also have just some of their gluten-free ice cream samples as well to let people know what flavors they do have that are gluten-free. Daiya was there, which is a gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free product line. They have pizzas and cheeses and a bunch of other stuff. Bakery on Main was giving out some samples of things. I'm finding this interesting, and I noticed this as an interesting trend with the particular package by these guys, but also some breads and a few other things. You know, ancient grains is one of those things that is becoming a popular thing that people are interested in, is looking at the grains that are older or something that we used to eat long ago. And I was just kind of disappointed in some of them. I know there was a company that had some bread, and they were, you know, they were touted as ancient grains, and maybe touted is a negative word, but they were labeled as ancient grains, and there just wasn't really that much ancient grain in them. Like, there wasn't a huge shift in actual ingredients. So not that that totally surprises me. It just bums me out that, you know, when we're looking for kind of that concept of ancient grain, definitely take a look to see, you know, maybe it does add a particular flavor, that kind of thing. But sometimes it is kind of looking for something a little different. So I was just disappointed in seeing that in a few different places, that it felt like it was taking advantage of a marketing tool, you know, duh, like everybody does, or many places do, rather than providing something that was really kind of more of a whole grain, ancient grain kind of thing. So anyway, I know that happens, but just to pay attention if that's something you're interested in looking for. The folks that sell Glutenese, which are digestive enzymes, so that if somebody gets glutened, they can take the Glutenese. This does not work for everybody. This does not work for somebody with an allergy. This is not the thing to do if you have celiac disease. Like, this doesn't save you from what it does to your body. It just might make the process a little bit more comfortable. For somebody with a sensitivity, the Glutenese can be very helpful in letting you, you know, maybe not have the kind of ill side effects that you would have. So what happens is sometimes if somebody eats something and then realizes, oh my gosh, it had gluten in it, they can take the Glutenese and it can help them. It does, again, doesn't work for everybody with a sensitivity either. So if you suggest it to somebody who happened to get gluten and they're like, yeah, no, sorry, I'm still going to be sick for 2 weeks, you know, that might be the case for them. So there was, for instance, a whey powder. You know, protein powder is a big thing. This is a gluten-free whey powder And it looks like the company is called BioChem. I remember visiting that booth, but I didn't apparently look too well at it. And then Artisan Soups and Sauces by At Last Gourmet Foods. I was happy to see this year, because they were not there last year, but I was just happy to see AFA, which is the Anaphylaxis and Food Allergy Association of Minnesota. They had a booth there this year, and I know the booths there are really expensive, and one of the things that I'm kind of bummed about this particular expo is that there isn't a lot of local resources. So, you know, like the food allergy groups and celiac groups around, they don't really have a presence at something like this, and that's one of the things I'd like to see. I haven't seen it for a while. Not that I see everything, but I've been told by other people in the cities that they haven't seen this either. There was an expo kind of fair thing. It was outside of Minneapolis a little ways, but it was very local. There was a lot of local representation of the groups around support around the Twin Cities. So I just thought that was nice. I was glad to see them there. I think they were, you know, besides a couple companies that were local, that was the only group that was there. So yay, I'm glad they got to be there. You know, when you go to an expo like or something like this in your town, you kind of just hope to see what is available for you right there that you might have access to. And I have no idea what keeps people out of that, if it's a price for the booth type of thing or what the deal is. I know I called last year kind of interested in the booths and to find out what the cost was, and through the conversation they didn't even tell me how much it was, so that told me that they were probably pretty expensive. I didn't push the issue too much, but nonetheless, when I kind of tried to get information, it didn't really come up. Oh, you know, another, I just saw the card sitting here that I didn't mention, another company that was there is Brody's 579, and they do gluten-free baking mixes, and I wanted to mention them just because I had a taste of some of their stuff and it was really pretty good, so didn't want to leave them out. Well, I think that's it. I think I've covered the bases and kind of walked you through the expo a little bit. This year, like I said, I was only there one day. Last year I was there both days, and I kind of like kept busy both days, so it must have been a little bit of a smaller expo this year, plus there were just some other people there that I got into some intensive conversations with who weren't there for the most part this year. You know, that leads me to one other memory of a booth that I didn't stop at this year because I stopped there last year and bought what I needed. This guy selling these things called the Grip Stick, and the whole point of them is that they are to put through. So like if you've got a bag of chips, he demonstrated a couple things actually. So if you got, you know, your gluten-free flour, keeping your flour fresh, and it doesn't have to be gluten-free, of course, it works for anything. But he also had a really interesting baggie of, so part of the baggie had milk in it and part of the baggie had like dry cereal in it. And then he put the grip clip between it, and you could mess around with that thing, and they totally stayed separate. So kind of the point being that, hey, this doesn't let air in. And I bought some last year, and I keep forgetting to use them, but when I use them, I'm very happy with them. They work well for like the salad bags of salad, putting stuff in the freezer. They come in an assortment of different sizes, so you got like a really long one for some of those big bags, and then smaller ones for like the, you know, the Bob's Red Mill type size of bag and a lot of other stuff. So anyway, also just wanted to call that out because that's one thing that I did buy last year and have been really happy with them when I remember to use them. That's the key, right? But worth mentioning. So that's called the Grip Stick. And just nice if you're like living in a house where you're the only one using the flour, for instance, just to go with the gluten-free example, or you don't bake a whole lot, or you've just spent some money on a decent bag of flour, and you can use this to keep it much more airtight than the, you know, the little butterfly clips or chip clips that we use so sometimes. So when you're protecting expensive stuff, it's nice to have something that's a little bit more airtight. So, all right, that's it. I think I've covered all of my bases. Thank you so much for listening. I hope that this was helpful to anybody who maybe hasn't been to something like this before. like I said, if you have any questions, you're certainly welcome to get a hold of me, and I can certainly get you some of the information on the companies if there's something that trips your trigger. Putting all of this into show notes, we get a little crazy, so feel free to email me if you have any questions. All right, you're back with me in 2018. A little time travel going forward here. The website again for the Gluten-Free Food Allergy Fest is glutenfreefoodallergyfest.com. If you add a /locations/, you will get the locations page. And as I mentioned before, May 19th and 20th in Minneapolis is the event here at the convention center. And while we're on the subject of gluten-free, just a couple more resources I wanted to mention. Two Facebook groups that you can join. One is called Gluten Free, and the page says Gluten Free International Group. And then the other is Gluten Free Celiac Disease Support Group. Both of them, people will be sharing experiences and about foods and products and places and that kind of thing. It's a great place to ask questions, find out about products. For instance, one thing you'll see on there occasionally is somebody talking about a product that is supposed to be gluten-free, but they're still getting sick from it. And some people will chime in then with their experiences or what they know or what they found out from the company, that kind of thing. So even if you don't have celiac, but you are somebody who's very sensitive or not eating gluten, it can be also the celiac disease support group can certainly be a great resource. Another event coming up I just wanted to remind you about is the Spirit Wellness Connection that's happening in Duluth. Also, Saturday, May 19th, tons of vendors and practitioners and various types of things. And I mention this for multiple reasons. One, if you look at the podcast listing, you can see an interview with the Infinite Three, the three ladies who are putting this event together. And I want to invite you to come join us for the live podcast recording we're doing that morning. So it's going to be a bunch of the practitioners. And if you go on the website, you can actually see who's going to be on the panel, the various panels that are going to be happening. And you can find that information at spiritwellnessconnection.com. And there's a listing of all of the events that are happening. And the practitioners who are going to be on the panel are going to be on that list. So come on down. You get to ask questions and hear about what they do, have some insights to their work and who they are. And I always like the opportunity to do that. It's you tend to learn so much in those situations and gain some real solid insights to what practitioners do. You sometimes get to learn about their training or specialties that they have kind of within that training. So I definitely encourage you to come down and do that. And then since we're definitely on the topic of food sensitivities, I'm going to be doing a talk in the afternoon about food sensitivities, food allergies, and celiac disease. And so I love for people to come and join that conversation as well. If you are a new listener to the podcast, you can find all of our episodes on wellnessrenpodcast.com. That's wellness, R-E-N. Ren is short for Renaissance because nobody wants to type that word all the time. You can go on there and you will see all of the podcasts back to episode one. You can also find us on iTunes at the Wellness Renaissance Podcast. And if you're not a person who does the iTunes thing, we want to make it really easy for you to find out about the episodes each week. So if you go to the page, wellnessrenpodcast.com, you look on the left, there's a place for you to enter your email. And what happens is we just shoot you an email whenever we have a new episode that's going to be once a week for the most part and says, here's the topic, a little information about it, and the link that you can just click on and then hit play. Please feel free to share that email or any of the podcasts with anyone you think will enjoy it or find the information useful. And if you enjoy what you hear and this information is useful and you feel called the next time you hop on Amazon to buy your gluten-free goodies or flowers or whatever the case might be, anything you want to purchase, you can go on to wellnessrenpodcast.com and you will see a support the podcast link. If you click on that, you're going to go to Amazon. You don't have to buy the thing that you clicked on, but anything within that little quote unquote shopping trip that you do purchase, a little bit of that purchase price will go to support the podcast. So that's not an addition. It's no cost to you. It is just a little piece of your purchase goes to say, hey, I want to support the podcast. So thank you so much. We're trying to learn how the whole thing works. So we're grateful to anybody who will do that for us right now, just to at least get an understanding of how that whole process works. Thank you again so much for listening. Here's to you finding more pieces that fit into your health puzzle. Until next time.